And welcome back to the Pretty Little Podcast. We're your hosts.
My name is Phoebe.
And my name is Caroline. And today we are going to be chatting about all things pop culture, including the great clowning of May 26th, 2025, which could either be interpreted as Taylor Swift not doing fucking anything or the AMAs existing as they did.
How bought into the theory were you?
I was just like, well, I clearly was duped. I thought I had seen a story post, but I bet it was from a previous year or something. But I had seen something that, like, she posted that she was going to be making an appearance. So yeah. I was really like, there's no way she's going anywhere and not doing something with that, you know? And just historically, I didn't realize no one on earth was going to go. And guys, we're going to get into the AMAs, but it was a total freaking flop.
But what I will say, well, why don't we just talk about it now? We can get into personal stuff after. But just because we're already talking about it, I do think that this could be a potential pivot for J-Lo. Maybe not opening
the show.
Maybe that maybe didn't need to happen in the way that it did. However, it's the most I've liked her in a long time. I thought she seemed like she was having fun. She was having fun with the audience. It seems like this could potentially, not necessarily the AMAs specifically, but like hosting in some capacity might be something for her to consider.
Well, one thing about J-Lo is she is just so embedded into the culture. You know, she is a pop culture icon, a pop diva. Whether or not we're taking her seriously at the moment doesn't affect that. Like, she's always that status. You know what I mean? Because she just, like, spans so many years in her career. I feel like anyone who had her kind of career and didn't age as well has an easier time figuring out what's next. You know what I mean? Yeah. The problem for her is that she is still so hot. That's her problem.
She could go back in. I don't understand why she's not going back into acting. Just doing rom-coms like she did. Like, just do, like,
I wonder if she has a bit of a chip on her shoulder now, because obviously the past year was a bit of a roller coaster. Like,
yeah,
it's like she was on top of the world. We had Bennifer back. Things seemed to be like hot and heavy with them, their weddings, like all of that amazing stuff. And then on top of it, we're getting her movie and her tour. And then all of those things flopped, you know? So I feel like my ego, honestly, she should have just taken a step back and thought about the pivot after the Super Bowl halftime show with Shakira, because that was one of the most entertaining halftime shows we've had. And I, like, wasn't so sure about it. I was like, first of all, why are we sharing at the time? And it was so fun to watch, because here's the thing about J-Lo. She's such a good performer. Mm-hmm. And so as much as her opening number at the AMAs had me,
was a head scratcher,
scratching my head, also rolling on the floor laughing, everything in between, I was like, you gotta give it to her. The girls got moves. The girls got presence. Well, yes. She's got star quality. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, fine. And now said it, J-Lo has star quality. Well, no one's really been saying that.
Add that to a list of things that have probably never been said.
Never been said before. We're saying it here. On the record, J-Lo's got star quality. She's got the it factor.
J-Lo has star quality?
Star quality? Weigh in. Guys, weigh in. No, but the opening number was astounding. I had the immense pleasure
of... That is the word for her. Because astounding can go... It's not overtly positive or negative, but it is...
It's not good or bad. It's not good or bad.
It's not good or bad.
Mm-hmm. I had the immense pleasure of turning on my television a few minutes late, a few minutes into the live broadcast of the AMAs, and
a broadcast by the way that feels like it should be streamed on Twitch. Like, why is this a primetime event?
Literally,
no wonder it's on Memorial Day.
It could have been an email. Like, literally, this was an award show that didn't need. I wonder how much money it cost. Don't tell me.
If I'm in a
wait, let me finish this thing though. I have to say. I turn on my television And the first thing on my screen is not like a normal move from J-Lo. It's when she's in the center of the circle and everyone's kissing her on the mouth, taking turns. And she's just standing there and everyone's one by one latching onto her mouth, sucking face, and then moving on and the next person comes in. I was like, what's the point of this? What is happening right now?
As the opening
number. What is going
on?
And like, I hadn't seen, you know, then I rewound and I caught the entire thing, but for that to be my, I was like, what, J-Lo? And it is kind of hilarious that she, who has plenty of songs, I know she wasn't like nominated for anything this year, but like that she just spent 15 minutes dancing to a mega mix of other artists, and she's like a huge artist. So it's like, we could have just had a dance team, a local Las Vegas dance team come out and do this. We didn't need J-Lo. I'm sure that bill was hefty.
Oh, she might have done it for free. I feel like
fucking
way. If I'm in an award show and I have a category with like 10 nominees and not one of them comes, I'm reevaluating whether we need to have this award show.
I think they are reevaluating because obviously we haven't had it for the past 2 years. This was sort of like the tester. They're like, can we hang with Yikes. The big guys? You know, they're like, this is, and the answer I think is a firm and resounding no.
But I also think they need to, Twitter has ruined fan voted awards. And I think that, because Mimi and I watched it together, that kind of took some of the prestige away from the award show of like,
totally.
And I feel that way about the VMAs too. Like the VMAs feel like they should have some sort of academy or some sort of body that votes on it. I feel the same way about the AMAs. We have the People's Choice Awards for a reason. It just feels like that immediately in my head. I'm like, well, also you can guess. I was like, it's either Taylor Swift or Billie Eilish winning this Artist of the Year award.
Yeah.
And to me, it makes sense that it's Billie because her fans are younger and they're the ones engaging online in that way still.
Well, I did have one. I mean, I do think it's kind of shocking that Taylor didn't win a single one of her categories. Like, Swifties are known for being the loudest, you know. They're, in fact, that's what typically we're like embarrassed about. We're like, oh God,
no,
we hope
totally.
She doesn't win. Those
but
kind
I
of
do
things.
Think Billie's
and
fans
so,
are younger.
Do you think, though, there was a little bit of snubbing happening here? Because people are also pointing out that when they were posting, maybe it was for like Video of the Year, I'm not sure, or Record of the Year, I'm not sure. But they were showing all the nominees, and every single nominee, you could hear people cheering, clapping for Taylor Swift. They muted it.
Oh, well, I didn't know.
And then it went back. So, like,
I don't think there was any snubbing going on, because I also think that something that to me falls in lines with the people that are voting for these awards being who I'm picturing is Gracie Abrams beating Chappell Roan.
I thought that was crazy.
Well,
and
I think it feels like the young fans who are now getting invested into Stan Twitter. Like, I remember when One Direction was up for these, it was like, sorry, I have to clock into work every day to get these boys their awards.
I know, but I guess that's what I'm confused about, is because I feel like Swifties are like that. I'm just not that kind of Swiftie. But like, I feel like she's got the young fans. I mean, I talk to 8-year-olds every day who want to get a tattoo of her on their body, you know, like. So there's no shortage of young fans. I wonder if, and I'm like, every one of these Swifties was so tuned in to the AMAs because we were thinking and hoping that we were getting something. So you just can't tell me that they weren't going to do everything in their power to make sure she was there and winning.
Well,
you know?
My conspiracy theory is not that. I do believe that it was an authentic, I don't think there was any snubbing going on, especially by the award show.
And the voter. But what do you think about the muting the audience?
Well, maybe it was too loud. but also.
I wish they said that. Then I wish they were like, hey guys, for Taylor, we're muting it because the cheering is too loud. The cheering is way too loud. Maybe nobody cheered. No, that's not true, though, because then they played, someone was like shared what it was like actually there.
It's the Taylor fatigue, low-key, maybe.
But people were cheering there, is what I'm saying.
Well, then
it
was
somebody
too loud.
Shared, like, Phoebe, why are you apologizing for the AMAs?
I just.
Are you having a tour affair? Who? Who runs the AMAs? Are you and J-Lo hooking up or something? Like, what? Why are you so defensive right now?
Oh my god.
Be honest. Be honest with your listeners.
On here.
Girl, we're unfortunately relatable.
That's our whole thing. But I do think my conspiracy theory is that the AMAs, they start kind of laying the groundwork. Because I feel like, I mean, it's been 2 years, but the AMAs are notoriously, I feel like, an award show where rumors about Taylor Swift tend to circulate. So yeah. Part of me was like, are they, I think they're fueling the fire a little bit to get viewership
probably.
Up so that Swifty, because you and me wouldn't have watched it. We wouldn't have rearranged our schedule this week if we didn't think that she was at least going to send in a video of her in a little Eras tour leotard.
Well, that, exactly. And that's the other thing. You're telling me the Eras tour is not what's going to win for the touring category? Like, it doesn't make sense to me, honestly. And I'm also wondering, like, did the AMAs know none of these stars were going to show up? Like, do they have to RSVP? I have a feeling Billie Eilish could have decided day of. Okay, fine. I'll say it. I'm stressed all the time, and it's messing with my hormones. Between work, keeping up with the latest pop culture news, and everything else, I just feel so out of balance, and I know I'm not the only one. So I'm gonna help you out. Happy Mammoth offers a free 2-minute quiz that can help you figure out what the heck is causing your hormonal symptoms. It couldn't be easier. And after the quiz, you'll get a personalized recommendation to help balance your hormones and start feeling better already. When I took the quiz, it suggested that I might be going through estrogen overload. And I can pretty much blame that for the way I've been feeling. One of the recommendations from the quiz was to take Hormone Harmony, which y'all know we love. And it has literally helped me so much, you guys. I'm less bloated, I'm less tired, and okay, fine, I'm less moody. Since I started taking it, I've noticed such a difference. Taking care of your hormones isn't just about feeling good right now. It's about investing in your long-term health. When you take the hormone quiz, you'll learn more about your hormone balance, and you can make small but intentional changes to support your body. Whether it's with Hormone Harmony or another Happy Mammoth product, the quiz really helps guide you towards solutions that work specifically for you. So, ready to start feeling like yourself again? Head over to happymammoth.com and take their free 2-minute hormone quiz today to find the ultimate answer to your stubborn hormonal issues. And for a limited time, you can also get 15% off your entire first order with my code PrettyLittlePodcast at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code PrettyLittlePodcast for 15% off today. Well, my hair right now looks like the wig that Heidi Montag wore to the AMAs.
My hair
looks so much
great.
Dry shampoo in it.
No hat today because I
did
forgot.
Did you see? Yeah. I'm still posting clips, so you don't get to say anything.
Okay.
Just saying it.
I'm just going to be less funny then. last night.
Right. I'm sure I'll notice a big difference. Just kidding.
Oh my God.
That was hilarious. That was funny that was as worse. Fuck. I admit it, that was so funny. Okay, fine. I'm going to talk about Peyton really quick before we get back into the AMAs. I went to take Peyton to Lilo and Stitch last night with Kelly. And we're like watching it. I cried like a baby, by the way.
Is Stitch just Sid?
Stitch is a mix of Sid and drama. And it is so funny. But like, I'm sorry, I can't. If you don't like dog movies, I don't know why you would like this one. Same thing. Okay.
Stitch
just imagine Stitch is a dog. Okay. And if you don't want to see the dog, it's a happy ending, but you know, it's it's hard to watch. And the little girl who plays Lilo is so cute and such a good actor. Like she was so, I loved her. Anyway, it was a really cute movie. But Peyton halfway through was like, I have to go to the bathroom. I'm like, okay, let's go. So we go to the bathroom. And I was like, okay, you go to the bathroom and I'm going to go refill my drink. So I come back and she's walking out and I'm like, you may have to take this out. And I'm like, do you wash your hands? She like walks right back in and she goes to the washing her hands. And she's like, I was calling with my friends at 7:17 this morning. And I was like, wow. She goes, yeah, we were just like, you know, talking about our new like dress code that we have. And I was like, you have a new dress code? And she's like, yeah. And I was like, what is it? She's like, it's just like blue and black and white clothes. And I was like, oh, cool. Do you like it? She's like, yeah, I like it. But I don't have the same Brooklyn t-shirt that the other girls have. And I was like, wait, what? And then she's like, and on FaceTime, right in front of my face, Brooklyn's like, hey, do you want my mom to pick you up for school? Not to me. Didn't include me. And then we like walk right back in the movie. Like, that's it. I was like, okay, now just, I gotta sit with, like, this for the rest of this movie.
Just something, like, to think about. Just something to think about, like, while you're enjoying your movie, sitting next to me, eating, refilling your drink. Yeah. I'm thinking about when I was calling my friends at 7:17, like, this morning.
I was like, okay, she could not wait to get that off her chest. She, like, needed to let me know about it. But I love the way it started with, like, a little bit of a hair toss. Like, yeah, just our uniform. And it's clear to me that the girls have just decided that if you're in the friend group, that's the uniform for the friend group. It's not like a school uniform. And they have matching t-shirts that say Brooklyn on them. And Peyton doesn't.
And one
have
of the
it.
Girls is named Brooklyn?
And one of the girls is also named Brooklyn. Oh, I know. Keep up.
Peyton, you don't want these friends.
You don't want these friends. But I was like, oh my God. We went from, yeah, I was, to, yeah, but I don't have that shirt. And can you believe this? And then right back into the movie. I was like, oh my God. Kids are so funny. But okay, sorry, back to the AMAs. You can take out all that about Peyton if you want. Okay, where were we? Taylor Swift at the AMAs. I just am surprised she did nothing, and I'm, like, kind of annoyed about it. But do you think that the AMAs knew none of these celebrities were coming? Or did they, like, no show?
I feel like,
because I don't
know.
Feel like some people knew. I don't feel like Alex Earl and Jake Shane knew they were attending a loser convention.
Well, I
don't
am
think,
like,
SZA, okay, realized that.
I know, that's so that's why I think maybe you don't have to. I don't know. But what I will say is I wasn't surprised none of them showed up.
Really? I was like, where are
it
the
used
stars?
To be, it used to be such an A-list event, but I feel like they stopped doing it because it stopped being that.
Yeah.
And I do think that partially started to happen when Taylor went MIA. Like, I know that was a long time ago, but, like, when she started removing herself, when she started dating a certain someone, she stopped having fun and going to these events. I mean, the AMAs is where we get that picture of Taylor in that, like, turquoise dress sitting next to Selena and Lorde, and, like, she was dating Calvin Harris at that time. And I think Karlie Kloss might have been there, too.
What a time, yes.
And Diana, I think that's where we get the picture of Diana Agron meeting Karlie Kloss in front of Taylor Swift.
You all know.
And Calvin Harris is there.
Why do we know everything about her life?
It's not just her. I mean, I know a lot about a lot of celebrities, unfortunately. I read a statistic the other day that, like, your brain really only has the capacity to, like, really know, like, 3 or 4 people. And then your brain starts
to three,
like,
or four.
And then your brain starts, like, not remembering details about
so,
other
so
people.
So you have to prioritize, okay?
Because they were talking, they were like, we consume so much media and there's so many personalities now, and, like, you know so many things about all these people, but your brain is not designed to
your brain
know
is like,
that
please.
Much about this many people, especially people that don't know anything about you.
And my brain has been growing, like, forever. My brain has never stopped growing. It's why my head's so big. It keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger because my brain's like, we'll make room. We understand it's important. My brain knows it. But here's the other thing. If you were to go to ChatGPT and say, hey, chat, what? My brain can only know 4 people. Who are they? I want to know what the ChatGPT inside my brain is funneling out as the response, because Taylor Swift is in that 4. Okay. Sorry, Anthony.
Unfortunately.
She's
yeah.
in your spot.
Oh my God.
The next one is, okay, Aria Montgomery. They didn't say they had to be real people. And half the stuff that I know about her, I made up. Anywho, yeah, overall, I just thought it was crazy. I hope mom got to see her little backflip moment. This backflip
that one looked
in
dangerous.
Particular, yeah. We're maybe needing to take a lesson from Icarus. I think we're flying too close to the sun, Benny.
I know. Nerve-wracking.
Right?
Last night, I saw a movie you're seeing this weekend. I saw Friendship last night. And
Wait. Back to the AMAs really fast. We have to talk about the Renee performance.
Oh,
we
yes.
have to. Guys, all right. I don't want to be tarred and feathered in the town square for this. I don't like the new song.
I don't either. You can tar and feather me all you want.
I just don't like it. I just am like, And also, okay, I listened to, yes, it is. I think she thinks it has what Hot to Go has. Like, she was talking about how she was like, I had to like stop taking myself so seriously to write this. And it just reminded me of like how Chapel said the same thing when she was writing Hot to Go.
Yeah, but it's not doing the same thing. And also it's giving like, this is where I think that we are like TikTok artists. The thing is that to me, she's not that. Like, I don't think she is a TikTok artist, but she
called herself that on Amy Poehler's podcast. Good Hang, so,
which I think is interesting, but I think sometimes when you brand yourself that way, even if subconsciously in your brain, when you're writing, you're looking for those moments that are going to be clippable in the song to become a sound. And it feels like this song is just that over and over again, like trying different, like kind of like shock factor lines. And it's just like this Sabrina and Chapel make it seem so natural. Yeah. To like, and not that like Renee doesn't, like it's clearly like that's her vibe. Like she's like, well, also like in your face and like a little bit like.
She's also such a good singer that I'm just like, that's the other thing. Not that like Chapel and Sabrina aren't, they obviously are, but Renee has led with her vocals for so long that it's just like, it doesn't, and this does not feel as natural for her.
If you're going to change it, it's like you need to do something a little more interesting. Like the leave me alone, bitch, I want to have fun over and over and over.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Like vocal fry. There's no hook to the song.
My lips just to match my nipples. Like all of that. I just was. And then live, it did not have
the
effect.
She sounded bad. She sounded bad.
It was not a hit. And I kind of felt like the whole crowd was like, what the fuck? Like I got the vibe that everybody was that way.
My consolation for her is that I love the hair. I love when her hair is
long. I do love the hair. Her hair looks amazing. I love this blonde. Yeah, no, she looks great. I don't love the outfit she wore. I felt like she looked like 40 years old performing.
Yeah, it was Gap. Okay. Oh, not what she wore on stage, but what she wore on the carpet.
She looked so much older than everybody.
I didn't notice that, but I didn't love it.
A couple qualms really quick with Renee. And I love her. I really do. And that's why.
Can I guess what one of them's going to be?
Sure. Did you listen to Good Hang?
I listened to clips of it. Okay. I listened to like a really long clip of it.
Okay.
The language.
Her language?
Mm-hmm.
It's not one of the ones I was going to say. Listen, I think when you're speaking to Amy Poehler.
That's exactly what I was going to say.
That's not how we talk.
I know that we have mouths of sailors, me and Caroline. And our mom will tell you that.
Yeah.
And our mom will tell anybody she tells to listen to the podcast that as well.
It's like, oh, but their mouths. They have horrible mouths. Yeah.
But if we were in a room with anybody above the age of 35.
No.
Number one. But certainly Amy Poehler.
My language.
You couldn't catch me
saying
the F word.
Now, there's one thing where I'm like, okay, maybe Renee, you have to be you. And like, she's going on here to promote her music. And like, her whole thing is this. But I'm just also like, Renee, I know you know. Like, I know you know. And I don't always buy it with Renee. Like, I don't always buy it. And I'm like, do we have to do this character for Amy Poehler?
On this podcast specifically, it felt like a lot. And I also just, it felt
but Amy
like
did really
a little
well
bit
with
of
it. Like,
yeah, she seemed into it. It felt like a little bit of a nervous thing at times. Like, yeah. I listened to that clip where she's talking about when she met Toa Bird. And I was like, also. And I don't think Toa Bird's probably someone who really cares. But like, if my partner went on a podcast and described how we met and I came off sound and Amy Poehler said, wait, she was so mean to you.
I know.
I would be like, wait. No. Let me retell the story so that you understand that that's not how it.
Yeah.
That's not, she wasn't being mean.
And it's just like not, it wasn't really a cute story. And it's just, I don't know. It's just tough. I also felt awkward because Amy Poehler and Tina Fey obviously are best friends, and Renee has had so much shit to say about the Mean Girls musical. Now, I know that she's not blaming that on Tina Fey, and, you know, it is what it is, but I am like, is that a little awkward to have?
Maybe.
You know, like, but that didn't seem awkward.
It also felt like an interesting, But maybe Tina's actually who got her on there, because I was thinking it's kind of interesting that, like, because so far on Good Hang, for the most part, it's been people that have a clear connection to Amy Poehler, yeah, or it, like, makes sense that they're on. Yes. Other than, like, Paige and Hannah, that one fell a little bit out of left field. But this one was the
Amy
first one
Amy listens to Giggly Squad.
Yeah, and Hannah's, like, a comedian. Like, it just felt like it made a little bit
and
more sense.
And she opened for Amy and Tina, like, the following week after they post. So I'm like,
this
I get, yeah.
This is the one where it felt the most, like, oh, interesting. Yeah. Like, this feels like an interesting pairing.
And one thing that was neat, so the person that Amy called for Renee was Cara Delevingne. And Cara was so excited to talk to Amy.
Aww.
Like, she was like, Amy Poehler, I love you. And Amy was like, oh my God, Cara Delevingne, like, I love you. Like, and she's like, have we never met? And Amy's like,
Caroline's nondescript British accent that she, she does.
This is just it. And then Amy
it's very
was like,
Jessa.
Amy was like, I don't know if we've, well, I would say Jessa's closer to Cara's accent. You know what I mean? Like that vibe. So that's just where I'm going. Anyway, Amy's like, no, I feel like I've passed you, but we never met. And Cara's like, no, because if we were in the same place, I would have grabbed you and been like,
it's
Amy
also Millie
Poehler.
Bobby Brown. That's also her Millie Bobby Brown.
Yeah, you're right. And she was like, Parks and Rec, like, literally got me through the pandemic, like, actually saved my life. And I was like, okay. So anyway, it was Cara Delevingne, but I was like, Cara seems excited to talk to Amy. Not that Renee didn't, but I was just like, you're playing a little cool for me. I want to see you freaking out a little bit about getting to talk to Amy.
I want people to let their inner Matt Rogers out.
And that's what
Cara
Delevingne did. Like, she was like, this is so cool. She was like, okay, I'm going to have to do something so I can come on your podcast. Like, that's how it works. Like, I'm oh my God, I love you. Like, yeah, like, she was literally so excited just to talk to her. And it was really neat. And then when Amy was like, oh, I talked to Cara, and Renee's like, that bitch. And that was like her response. And I was just like, oh, like, I just want to see you like drop the like, I'm too cool for this thing. You know, I don't know. But no, my qualm, I think that was one of the qualms. The other was about the way she spoke about her voice. And so she said a couple things. One, she says, Amy's like, where'd you learn how to sing? She's like, choir, I guess. Like, it was really just like listening to Beyonce and trying to do that. And Amy's like, so you never had any formal training? She's like, no. Yes.
Wait, but
didn't you did.
Didn't y'all have the same teacher?
Yeah. Like, you did take voice lessons, Renee Rapp. You actually definitely
also,
did.
Like, what a.
But then.
I don't want it to sound like we're like shitting on Renee Rapp, but like that. As someone who now could be a role model for people who want to sing and do what you're doing, what a disservice to
Dude,
them
no,
to be like,
gets
well,
worse.
I didn't go to lessons. Chapel Roan was like, I didn't, you, and now I can sing so much better now that I go to voice
lessons.
Look
at Taylor Swift. No, and this is, it gets worse because Phoebe, then she goes, Amy's like, so what do you do to warm up? Do you warm up your voice before you sing? She's like, no, never, never. She goes, I do way worse.
Lady Gaga,
I do way. Is Lady Gaga rolling in her? I'm like, Beyonce, the woman you love more than anyone, Beyonce, would never approve of this. And I was just like, I don't.
And I don't believe
my voice students to hear you say that, girl.
And
I just don't
believe you.
I don't believe you. She's like, I just get way too in my head. I like think about it way too much. Like, I do not warm up. I do way worse when I warm up. Like, I always do bad when I warm up. She's like, I'm shit when I warm up. And like, I was just like, why did you say that? Because I don't believe you. And like, I'm sorry, that is dangerous rhetoric. Don't be saying that. Please. Like, please, please, please. So anyway,
I'm going to find your email list and tell you the parents of all your students.
Do
send
not
your kids
listen.
In to Caroline's lesson and say, I just listened to Renee Rapp.
No.
And she said, I don't have to warm up.
Oh,
she said,
I mean,
she
literally
just performed
like,
she just performed at the creme de la creme of a award show, so I'll listen to her.
So I'll listen to her. Oh my God. Like, I was just like, Renee, what? I'm sorry, you didn't warm up when you were playing Regina George on Broadway?
I just don't
like,
buy
I don't
that.
Believe you. I don't believe you. But anyway, okay. My other qualm with her is the thing she said in the song about sex lives. Like, I'm sorry, I just think it's so
we've
uncool.
We've always had a problem with that.
Like, what about your fucking friends? Whatever happened
Except
to her
Aaliyah
friendship with Aaliyah?
Mimi said Aaliyah reposted the song.
Okay. Well, I've heard there was like trouble, and I would imagine there was, because I'm sorry, Renee leaving the show basically was a death sentence for the show, and she knew that. And so for her to speak so like cavalierly and her edit like, on the AMAs, I thought was worse, because she, instead of "I took my sex life with me, now the show ain't fucking," she's saying "took my life with me, now the show ain't nothing." Which I'm like, that's
and
worse.
It's like it just got canceled. And it's like, it's not even just the livelihood of like your friends. It's like, that was a, that's a lot of people. And I'm not putting it all on her. Like the writers.
No.
I mean, so there was always a little bit of hope left for the show, but it definitely was considerably harder with her leaving. Yeah. And now a bunch of people are out of work.
I have heard that maybe like, well, I haven't heard any specifics. So if you guys know any, I actually would like really be interested to hear. But I've heard that like maybe there were things on set that just like weren't good. Like,
but
I don't
she said
know.
She had a really, she said, and I think she mentioned it maybe in Call Her Daddy, that interview too. She
I remember talking her
talking
about
her
the Mean Girls stuff and then that. Yeah.
And so like totally if it's a bad environment, which, absolutely. But I just,
I will say that episode I remember like hit me hard because it is really like she, and if you haven't listened, I would say like,
well,
that's really excellent. I know we've talked about it, but I'm just like, if you haven't listened to that episode where we did talk about it, you should go listen to the Call Her Daddy episode with Renee Rapp. She sings on it. She sounds amazing. It's like a really great episode. I actually really liked it. And anyway, she talks about being on Mean Girls and then being on Sex Lives and like just stuff with her body. And it's, it's,
but I just think there's a way to speak about times in your life that weren't the best for you. Like, I just think, I don't know, it's such a dangerous like line to toe, I guess, between like being, but it's just, she wouldn't be here without Mean Girls or without Sex Lives. So to an extent, I just feel like there should, and even if it's not gratitude towards those systems, gratitude towards the fans who liked what you were doing then, because now if you're talking about it like it was this terrible experience, like that makes the fans feel weird about it.
Yeah.
It's like
they can't enjoy it, or that they have to stop listening. It's like that idea of like, with great power comes great responsibility. Like a lot of your fans now, because you had a negative experience, are going to feel this allegiance to you that forces them to stop watching and supporting other people, or maybe it was something they really liked. When it's like, do you care if they stop watching it? Like, you just don't want to be part of it. But like, now all these people, like the show gets canceled because nobody's fucking watching it because you left. And now the way you're talking about it, it's like, it just, I don't know. I think if I were on the show and one of her friends, I would feel really bothered by it. And and I'm not either of those things. So maybe I shouldn't. But that's my take on that. I'm excited for more music from her because I think she's got the greatest voice besides Ariana Grande and Beyonce in our industry. Like, she is really a gift to the music world. So I'm excited to hear what's next. I was kind of hoping
right
she would drop a single on AMAs. That would have been amazing if she did her next single, because Leave Me Alone just also isn't that fun to watch live. Like, it just wasn't.
It's boring.
The perfect live
it's a boring
show.
Song.
Yeah. So if she could have done a new single, even if it wasn't great, it just would have, I think it would have hit better. Anyway, that's all I want to say about AMAs. Do you have anything else before we move on to your, you saw Friendship last night?
No, I saw Friendship last night. And I'm not a huge Tim Robinson fan.
That's okay. You're saying that like you're scared. I'm going to jump through
the
computer.
Well, I know you and Anthony love him.
And hurt you.
I know you guys.
I don't have that strong of an opinion on him. I have not even watched all of I Think You Should Leave. There's just a couple sketches that are like so good.
I know, but those, like, sometimes, like, you and Anthony have showed me sketches of his that you guys really love, and it he just doesn't do it for me.
Do you not like the sketch where it's like the, give me that, I'm going to eat the whole,
it doesn't.
Everybody likes it.
It makes me laugh, but it just, it's not my ideals. Like,
I mean, that's so funny because everyone I've ever showed that to or who already knows it, it's like one of the great sketches. It's so fucking funny. I feel like you need to try it again.
I think that's his funniest sketch. I mean, that's the funny.
That
like,
one
I don't
and
like
also the get this
I
shit off me.
I like, those are the two that I like. I don't like the drive through one.
I
just
don't think
like,
I've even seen it.
That's where he like goes, he like does, someone like pays it forward, or he pays it forward to the person in the back expecting the person behind him to pay it forward to the person behind them.
Uh-huh.
So he goes as quickly as he can around the drive-thru and then like orders like a ton of stuff, and then it doesn't end up working.
Oh, I have seen it, but yeah, no, I understand.
But his sense of humor is just not for me. Anyway, what I will say okay, I don't know. I left the movie sitting in the car being like, I did not enjoy that at all.
I'm shocked.
But then I also was like, but I was laughing. Like, I did You're enjoy like, it to an extent.
Did I?
Yeah, I gave it 3 stars on Letterboxd.
Oh, no, what Phoebe. Phoebe, oh, no, oh, no, oh, no. Remember that thing you told me about how your brain only has room for 4 people? I think you yourself actually pushed yourself out. And now you don't even have 4 people. You're not one of those 4 people. So you don't know if you liked it or not. You don't know yourself well enough to know. But I know, anyway. I know you. You're one of my 4 people. And you did. You loved it. And you also love those sketches I just talked about.
But what I did love, and I read through a couple Letterboxd reviews of people who were kind of lukewarm on the movie as a whole, and a lot of people's consensus was, even though I don't find him all that funny, I was in a theater filled with people who do find him hilarious, like find him to be the funniest person alive, and that made it so enjoyable. There was this girl in my theater who like truly could not catch her breath, was laughing so hard.
Okay, I can't wait to see this. I was like, so you were laughing at her. Yeah.
I wasn't laughing at her, but it made the things funnier. Like,
you're laughing
and
at
that's,
her.
That's what the magic of the movies is. That's what they always, that's what they're telling you about.
And
is
that they and Phoebe, we've been saying that.
We have been. Caroline and I are always like, fuck when people are in here. This is, you should have known I was coming. I went to the theater to myself. But there is something electric about it.
Oh, it's just when you get to watch a great movie and everyone in the theater, or when you watch a really bad movie and everyone in the theater is on the same page. That's how it was when I saw Hurry Up Tomorrow, which I'll talk about once you finish speaking about your
Well, when I saw Saving Mr. Banks, it was literally, we were in the Galleria, old Galleria.
Oh, God. And the horror.
Packed. Not a seat.
Why did mom love that theater? Like, mom, were you out of your gourd?
On the outside.
Was it?
It was kind of like,
yeah, I guess when before you're inside of it and sitting in there for 2 hours. Yeah.
And you never forget when we went to, you weren't there, but mom took me to see Where the Wild Things Are, because that was my
and you had to leave.
That was my favorite movie or book as a kid. And mom and I had to leave because it was so disturbing. But we were at that Galleria, and mom saw the manager on the way out, and she goes, that is not a kid's movie.
I love when mom decides, mom's like, hey, director of the movie theater. Like, mom, you know, he's just the director of the movie theater. He is not the director of that movie. Well, I appreciated last night when we go to Lilo and Stitch. I give him my tickets and he goes, there's not an end credit scene.
Oh, whoa. That's so nice.
I was like, oh, my God. Thank you. They're probably so sick of people, because now it's like every movie, people waiting and then they can't go clean the theater, especially but they're so annoyed by it that they're like, we're going to start saying it. And I'm like, let's normalize it. I don't need the suspense. I'm going to look it up anyway. And unfortunately for me, if there would have been someone who was saying that shit, then I would have been like, okay, I'm not going to miss the second scene after Sinners, which I did.
Yes. I missed it too, but then I watched it online and I was like,
okay, wasn't that much?
The first one was the one that was like, whoa. The second one.
We were talking about Inspired by the Valley. We were talking about our hall passes the other day and I was like, I think
Michael B. Jordan.
It's Michael B. Jordan. I do.
So fair. So
I
fair.
Mean, I just think.
And God forbid Haley Steinfeld says that that's hers.
Oh, I mean, I'm sorry. If I'm her husband, Josh Allen, is that his name?
My theory is like Josh Allen maybe got an early cut of the movie and was like, okay, I gotta
put a ring on this.
Before this press tour starts where they're like flirting the whole time and standing next to each other, she needs a rock on the hand.
Because also, what a beautiful couple they would be. Like, oh my God. I mean, Michael B. Jordan, like in that movie especially.
It's crazy.
Two of them?
All that to say, Paul Rudd is cute. The movie, I just think that
Paul Rudd's a national treasure.
Yes. Sometimes I just, and I haven't seen Kate Mara in something in like ever. Like ever.
Throwback?
It's been what so was she? Long.
House of Cards.
I really just know her from American Horror Story.
Oh, my God.
Maybe a couple other things.
Did you ever watch House of Cards? I mean, I know it's
no, because I was too young to watch it. And then by the time I was old enough to watch it, it was like we knew everything.
It was disgraced. I will say two things up Bronwyn Newport really quick. Number one, can't believe all her dogs are named after House of Cards characters.
So
and
funny.
She's as liberal as she is. Like, oh, my God. And number two, I need to do a deep dive into her because apparently there are like very legitimate claims of identity theft and like fraud reports of her from 2021.
No wonder that are like so defensive.
No, I know. And people are like, she is a full, like, Conwyn Newport. They keep calling her. And so, anyway, I'm going to be doing a full deep dive.
Wait, did you see what Meredith Marks just posted?
Yes. And so someone was like, and so it begins.
Fiction is like, the lie through which we tell the truth.
Okay.
Albert Camus.
Like, I honestly thought that was a Meredith on pills quote. Not and by the an way, actual by the way, guys. Quote.
Looks like a create post. Looks like an Instagram story create post.
Oh,
but
it's
definitely
not.
Just her leg. Definitely.
And I also need
leg.
To say Matt Rogers, same thing this week. He posted something as well, and I could tell it was not a create post. And I was like, he posted something, and he was like, "Guess what's in my bag for the Epic Universe opening?" And everyone's
so
like, "Poppers."
I'm so glad they got to go.
They looked high as kites, and I hope
they
were.
They've been single-handedly been making me want to go.
I know.
I wouldn't have known a thing about it, number one.
They are the two people on this earth that I just, like, wish nothing bad for. I wish something bad for everybody else, but those two people, no. Okay, so moving along, well, do you have any other personal updates for us? How was your weekend? How's your week going?
Good. Nothing crazy.
Guys, we're going to Nashville. We're having a sister retreat in Nashville at the end of the month in June. Yes, it's true. Mom and I are going down, and we are having a sleepover. We're staying at Phoebe's house the first night. I can't freaking wait. I haven't been in there yet. No, and I'm going to get in there. So where will you sleep?
In my bed. And
because it's a one-bedroom, right? Okay, yeah. So you'll be in your bed with me and Mom. Okay. I mean, I'm sure we can fit. We're all this big. It's going to be so fun. We're going to have so much fun. But we want to go do some, like, really fun stuff. And Phoebe kind of just, like, she doesn't like to go do fun stuff. She just likes to go do the stuff that she likes to go do, which she thinks is fun. And it is. But those things that you wouldn't do, you know what I mean? I'm being,
yeah,
like,
but then it's, like,
goofy,
it's hard to think about when.
I know, because you
and
live,
like,
there.
Also, there's so much of Nashville that's, like, oftentimes people that text me and they're like, I'm here, what should I do? They're like adults, and so, like, museums work, but, like, I'm not thinking you guys want to go to a museum or
no, we
want to
do, like, we want to do, like, fun girly, like, just girl gang kind of thing. Okay, that's what we're going for. We're going for that, right? Do you not think we are?
We're going for whatever.
We
want to
eat
for.
Drink we already know how to do that, though. That's the thing. It's like, me, Phoebe, and Mom, we'll be fine when it comes to eating and drinking and, like, seeing music and, like, those kind of things. Like, we'll be good. But, like, are there any really cute, like, we want to go to a hat store. Okay. So, like, do you have any favorites? Or are there any really cute, like, shops that we wouldn't know about that Phoebe might not, like, go to because she lives there and you're not going to those areas? It's just sort of like, you know, you're not going to go to, like, the...
I think we do Broadway during the day on Saturday. Yeah.
So we can do karaoke because that's a must.
Because Mimi and I have realized, and we're not Broadway people by any stretch of the imagination, but we both separately
Broadway
have
Nashville,
had,
by the way. Of course,
yeah,
they're Broadway,
you know, Broadway
New York
person.
People.
You
know we're Broadway people. Never been on it.
Yeah,
but
don't be stupid. We both separately had experiences on Broadway at a time that, like, we wouldn't normally go. Like, we didn't go on, like, a Friday or Saturday night. Mm-hmm. Like, I took Mark and Kate to Broadway when they were here, and we went at, like, 6. Like, 6 to, like...
You had a bad experience?
No. We had a great experience.
Oh, my God. My heart was just, like, in my throat.
No, that's what
oh
we're
my
saying.
God. You're like, me and Mimi have both had experiences, and we were there, like, at not the normal time. I was like, what are you about to tell me?
I mean, like... People don't like Broadway because it's way too much. It's way too packed. It's annoying. It's all tourists.
Which, like, by the way, if it's your first time in Nashville, you have to do it that way.
Yeah. But living there, it's just like that, you don't need to go there. But Mimi on Saturday went, like, in the afternoon. Mm-hmm. And then, like, she was like, we actually had a really good time. And I was like, I had a really good time on the afternoon a couple weeks ago. And I think and we went to different bars than we normally do. Like, we went to some of the more, like, not as young bars.
Yeah.
And it was like, this is actually enjoyable. Like, just sitting on a rooftop and having the music.
Having a drink, like, and live music. And it's, like, a nice day and there is sunlight and you're not, like, I mean, the nighttime just changes everything. Changes everything. But I'm really excited. It's going to be really, really fun. So if you have any ideas for our Nashville weekend, you know, let us know. Okay, well, my personal updates. Saw Lilo and Stitch last night.
One more thing.
Okay.
So I have been listening to an audiobook, as everybody knows.
Right.
As everybody knows. As everybody knows.
Guys, one, two, three, say it out loud. The anxious generation. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I've been reading that, listening to it. And
forcing everybody else to listen to it as well.
I have 18 minutes left. But I didn't know that Spotify, even though I'm a premium paying customer,
and I have been
for like a decade,
I
only get 15 hours of audiobooks to listen to a month.
So you have to wait for June 1st?
I have to wait till my payment period restarts.
Oh my god, I have two weeks left. How much do you have to pay?
Well, you could pay $13 to get
for
10 more
18
hours.
Minutes?
Well, to get 10 more hours of audio.
But still, like, are you listening? Are you going to immediately start another audiobook that you're going to be like, committed
Fuck
to?
You, Spotify. Guess what I did, Spotify?
Downloaded it illegally somewhere?
No, I got a library card. Fuck you.
Because why did I think you already had one?
Well, I have one in Pittsburgh, but I don't have one here, which I guess in theory I probably could have used for this because I'm going to get the app Libby.
Okay.
Which is an audiobook app, and you can just check audiobooks out on an app on your phone.
Oh, that's
and it's like
good to
you
know.
Still, like, you have to return it. Like, you have a certain amount of time to finish it. But if you have library cards are free.
Great.
And this is like, fuck you, Spotify. I'm not listening to audiobooks on your service anymore.
No.
Get out of here.
And also, Spotify just pissed me off a lot lately. So they can just be in the doghouse.
Yeah, don't think I didn't notice that create button.
Yeah, what the hell is that?
I noticed it every time I open the app.
Yeah, I noticed it every single time I open the
app. What were you thinking?
Don't fuck with my muscle mem, okay? You're going to regret it for sure. You know what I thought about doing a couple weeks ago? I thought about fully taking our podcast off of Spotify. No, I thought about removing our podcast from Spotify. And then I realized a lot of you guys listen on Spotify, so we can't. But that's how annoyed I am. But also, Apple also is really annoying, just so you guys know.
I have a running list of notes in my phone of ways Spotify could be a better platform.
Perfect.
And no,
one day when they call us and they want to hear, we'll say, give us $1 million and we'll tell you, and then I get half.
Give us, make us the new Alex Cooper and you can
have
whatever you want.
Then you can have this list. You can have this list of our tweets.
It's like when, do you remember when Lily, when she was a kid, she was obsessed with this app, this like dragon app or something. And she came up with, this is actually so precious. She had like pages and pages of ideas.
Oh my God, stop.
Of like different kind of like variants, like different things that they could do. She sent it to them.
Oh, and do then we have copies? We have
she never. She never hears back. She never hears
of
back.
Of course.
She updates the app.
No, wait, this isn't real.
This is absolutely
all
real.
All of her updates were there?
Not all of them, but a lot of them. Can you believe that?
Okay, I'm smelling a lawsuit. I'm hiring Brian Friedman. Because I want everyone to hear about it.
Anyway, back to your
anyway. That's so funny. Guys, I saw Hurry Up Tomorrow last week, and I don't think I really got the chance to talk about it. It is the worst movie I've seen in so long, you guys. Okay, first few things I need to say. No dialogue for like the first 30 minutes. And spoilers, okay? It opens with Jenna Ortega setting fire to her childhood home, driving away. We never find out why. What happened there? We talked about this on the Patreon. Her mom calls her, is like, why'd you do that? And she's like, Mom, I can't talk right now. Her mom was like, oh, well, I can't do anything but talk because I don't have a house now.
Hey, why'd you do that?
Hey, why'd you do that? I can't talk right now. I have the weekend tied up. Yes, the weekend. Actually, the weekend, because did you guys know he's playing himself? He's playing Abel/the weekend. At one point, you see Jenna Ortega's phone background. It's a picture of the weekend, and it says the weekend on it. I was like horrified. I was like, wait a minute. So then in this universe, are you telling me, then I guess I'm meant to believe that's actually Jenna Ortega and his best friend is actually Barry Keoghan. Right? Because if you're playing yourself, there, but that doesn't, she doesn't get to be Jenna Ortega.
If I was playing myself and Sabrina Carpenter was playing Caroline, then it's like, well, she has to be Caroline.
Yes, exactly. So anyway, they have that moment, The Weeknd and Jenna Ortega, during the concert that we lock eyes in a crowd and feel a connection moment that I hate. And I wrote in the note during the movie that I think this is dangerous rhetoric. And here's why. None of these little fangirls of the year 2025 need any more encouragement to believe that their one true love, Benson Boone, Harry Styles, whoever that might be right now, is going to lock eyes with them in the crowd and change their entire life's direction. Okay? Stop it. Stop it with this story. It isn't going to happen. And these kids don't need to be believing it. Because let me tell you, I certainly believed it. We've all seen the tweets. That's like me grooming myself because I was certain Nick Jonas was going to look out and say, that's the one. Me wearing this lacy bra just for you, Nick Jonas. I'm 15 years old. I'm 15 and I'm in the nosebleeds. Like, yeah.
Just in case.
So I'm just saying, like, we don't need to be perpetuating this idea. And certainly not you, The Weeknd. So then The Weeknd and Jenna have this, like, really special night out together, which, by the way, he is a hardcore drug user. Now, I've heard that this is true about The Weeknd before, but I'm like, again, is this autobiographical? Because you're playing yourself. So are you just showing us, like, how much of a problem you have? I hope not. And how much of, like, an abusive partner you are? I hope not. Okay, so then Jenna Ortega turns out to be a crazed fan, like actually a stalker. She ties The Week. She knocks him out when he tries to leave her. So, you know, that scene that's been going viral where he's like, shut the fuck up. That one. Right after that, she knocks him out. So he doesn't get to leave. She literally renders him unconscious, ties him to the bed and keeps him there where she plays his own music, like songs you probably have heard of, like Blinding Lights. And she starts doing this crazy little dance while she plays his music on her iPhone, and he has to listen. She's like, do you hear this? It's so deep. Like, the words are so deep. Like, oh my God, just tell me what you were thinking when you wrote this. You're a genius. And he's playing himself. I can't. And then at the very end, it's like, was this a... I don't know. He was an executive producer. So was Jenna Ortega. I know that really just means you have like a financial investment in this, but I just want to say, Jenna Ortega, you are too good for this. And The Weeknd, if this is the second project you're doing where you're basically like, let me do something about my own life, kind of. And I'm going to be this like fucking this following horrible idol guy.
Where he plays like this terrible person.
Well, he plays a terrible person in this one too. Unfortunately, this one he kept his same name. I couldn't believe, and then I was like, what is Barry Keoghan doing in this? Like, how are all these people in this? Like, it's the most bizarre little thing. And then I was like, is this supposed to be a cautionary tale about vocal health? Because the whole time he has like no voice because he keeps doing all these fucking drugs and he keeps pushing his voice and he's like, gets a vocal scope. So if you're curious, go see, you know, Hurry Up Tomorrow, because there's a whole vocal scope moment and he has nothing on his chords. I'm like, I don't believe that for 1 second. His chords look perfect. No way. He just has to go on vocal rest for a little bit. He can't sing. He can't sing.
Maybe it's because he doesn't warm up. His chords are fine.
Oh, maybe that's why. Yeah. Well, then his chords obviously aren't fine because he can't sing. There's just like no nodules or anything. And then at the very end, he's like on forced vocal rest because he's tied up and like has no water and he's like whatever. And at the end of it, he sings. And that's how she like sets him free. Like he literally at the end is like, and it's like just his face singing, and then she like is crying and like unties him, and then that's, or like, no, so I'm sorry, she covers him in gasoline and lights him on fire or something, but he doesn't die, he lives. You don't know if any of it's true at the end, if any of it happened. I'm like, did The Weeknd just have a dream one day and he was like, this is cinema, and like decided to do it? I'm like, what the fuck did I watch? Kelly and I both were like, this is the worst movie we've ever seen.
That's wild.
But at the end, he gets his voice back. So it does make a good case for vocal rest.
It's like Little Mermaid.
It is exactly like The Little Mermaid. If you want to see Hurry Up Tomorrow, just go watch The Little Mermaid. Same diff. Maybe can't hear me anymore, but she agrees. All right. I was super social last weekend, and it took it out of me. I'll tell you that. Took it out of me. But it was fun. Okay. Let's talk about the Hunger Games casting. Very excited.
I'm so excited. 1 second. I lost my tab.
Road Warriors, you know we're obsessed with all things Bravo and all things Charleston. So on our most recent trip to the Lowcountry, we had to stop at, by the way, the new neighborhood bar and restaurant from Southern Charm stars Craig Conover and Austin Kroll in partnership with the Uptown Hospitality Group. We celebrated my 30th birthday there, and I have to say, like, the cocktails, the vibes, the service, immaculate. My favorite drink was the lavender gimlet, Empress gin, lavender, lime, clarified milk. It was so pretty, so delicious. And our group kept those freezing cold martinis and caviar bumps flowing all night long. The atmosphere was exactly what I wanted. It was chic, but cozy, elevated, but welcoming. Think like your dream neighborhood spot that also happens to be Bravo adjacent. And because the night was that good, I had to go back for a dinner date with Anthony. The menu brings an elevated spin to classic tavern fare. Handhelds, crave-worthy kettle chips with French onion dip, literally dream about them. But the best part were the steak frites. Anthony and I split it. It's a grilled prime New York strip with garlic butter, chimichurri, and perfectly crispy shoestring fries. Oh my god. Pro tip, go on a Wednesday during happy hour from 4 to 6 p.m. They do half off select wines, bubbles, their signature blade and bow old fashioned, and the steak frites. It's such a steal, and honest, I cannot recommend it enough. So make sure you add By the Way to your Charleston itinerary and follow them on Instagram at By the Way CHS to see the menu, the vibe, and all the Bravo approved bites. And if you go, tell Craig we sent you and save us a martini.
Well, obviously, we were all hoping the L. Fanning is who we were all most hoping for to get. And we were just unsure that it was going to happen. And here we are. We got her. We freaking got her. I'm so excited.
She's going
excited.
To be perfect.
She's
Do you
perfect.
Think this movie, I feel
is
crazy
be better?
Saying this. No, well, I know that. But do you think this movie
could win Oscars?
Could be an Oscar. Yeah.
Mimi and I just had this conversation.
Okay, what yes. are your, I think yes. I'm like, you're not casting these people.
You're not
without
getting
throwing
Fiennes.
Your hat in the ring. You're just not. You're not getting Kieran Culkin. All these people were either nominated for or won Oscars like in the last year. They're yes. not doing projects that aren't putting them in that ring again. I just don't think they are, unless it's like Marvel.
And I just like, I can't believe how accurate, like, even just, but also another one that we're obviously super happy about is Jesse Plemons
yes.
playing a young Philip Seymour Hoffman,
which is
playing Plutarch.
I mean, perfect. It could not be more perfect casting there, obviously. They look so similar.
They look amazing. We've got some fresh faces for Haymitch, but he looks just like
Woody Harrelson.
Yeah.
Yeah, he does. Is that Woody Harrelson? Did I just get that so wrong?
Yeah, that's Woody Harrelson.
Okay. I love Woody Harrelson. I am, as much as I fucking love Kieran Culkin, I am curious. It's going to be really different.
I was talking to Mimi about this. I think that it's going to be an interesting, it's going to, I think it's perfect.
And because he's playing,
I
think it will show,
I haven't
again?
Read the book. Who plays what?
He's, what's the guy's name again that he's playing? I can't remember.
Caesar
Stanley
Flickerman.
Tucci played him. Wait, right?
Caesar Flickerman.
That's, okay.
No, I haven't read the
I've
new
book.
I've
not watched these in so
That's
long.
What I mean. Like, I didn't read the one that just
okay.
came out, which is what this movie is going to be.
Okay.
I also, like, obviously you can only do this with a series like The Hunger Games, where it's already so popular and you know the movies would be successful if you made them. But I think it's having the book, like, just come out a couple months ago and now having the casting, like, the movie will happen relatively quickly. And, like, I feel like it happened the same way with the one Rachel Zegler was in, like, the succession of how it happened is really nice. It's making people really excited about everything.
Yeah.
But I think that it will be, and again, I haven't read the book, so I don't know how Caesar Flickerman is depicted in the book, but in my brain, I think Kieran Culkin's a really great pick to show how, like, even though Caesar Flickerman is super, like, quirky and, like, flamboyant and all this stuff, there's still a rigidity to him and how he is complicit and not just complicit, but active in what the Capitol is doing.
Well, it's like he's like Jekyll and Hyde. He's got, like, he has his mask that he puts on.
There's
a great scene of Stanley Tucci where he's like, in, I don't remember when he's coming up or something, and he's completely like, and then he gets up there and he just, like, comes to life.
And
it's, I think Kieran
Culkin
will be great at something like that.
I think will show how a younger person gets turned into that when like I think he's gonna show a much more natural and less polished side of the quirkiness that makes Caesar Flickerman, and then we'll kind of get to see how that shifts as he probably gets implemented and everything that has to do with
should
the
we Should we read this book as our summer book club? Should we do a summer book club this year, you guys?
Oh, yeah, that would be good.
What do you think? I want to reread all of them.
I haven't read them since middle school.
I read them in high school, and I remember just eating them up. Those were those books where, like, if I had 2 minutes, like, if I was sacrificing a social hour, if I was sacrificing, like, the extra 2 minutes that I could spend talking to people in the halls or, like, chasing boys, then you know the book was good. Okay.
Which is, by the way, how I feel. I know I actually don't know if I've talked about this on this on the podcast, but I've been talking to Caroline about it. I've been reading The Secret History for what feels like an eternity, and I have about 50 pages left of the book. And that's how I feel now, that I've gotten to a certain point in the book. I am like, oh my gosh, I need to, like, it might be my favorite book I've ever read, which I know doesn't sound right because it's taking me so long, but it's just a labor of love.
You must love it because I put shit down if it takes me that long. I'm like, all right, you're obviously not good enough.
I love the way she writes, but also the story is, like, so fascinating and the characters are so interesting. I just got one of my friends who's already read the book. She's rereading it because of how I was talking about it. She's like, I need to remember why I loved this book so much.
You're an inspiration and an influencer.
And we did know that. We did know that. But I would recommend it. But I feel that's how I feel about this book. It's like, I don't want to, like, this morning I read some before work and I was like,
I don't even want to go chase boys right now. I just want to keep reading this, which is what work is. Just chasing boys. All right. Anything else to say about that? Let us know, guys, if you want to do a summer book club this summer and if that book would be fun, or if you have another suggestion, let us know. We want to do some fun stuff this summer. I just need to, like, put in a quick complaint. I won't listen to it, but, like, what the fuck, Tate, with this song with Morgan Wallen? I hate that it's number one and it's her first number one. It sucks because it just, like, it also, like, bums me out. Like, I'm like, wow, he has that many fans.
Yeah.
It's, like, such a bummer.
He's massive.
I know.
It's him, Taylor, and Drake. Those are the people that lead the charts.
That's so crazy because I literally, like, in my world, I don't know a single one of his songs. Like, he doesn't exist to me. Except when he snubs Bo and Yang. And then he really is on my radar. Then he's actually very much on my radar. I'm just like, it's disappointing. And do you think this means something for Tate McRae?
We'll see. Feels like it's died down. Like, I haven't seen that many people talking about it since it came out. And honestly, when it came out.
The song?
Yeah, I feel like.
The
discourse really started and was really at its peak, I feel like, when it was announced. And then the song came out last week, 2 weeks ago, and I don't see that much about it anymore.
Okay, then. Well.
We'll see what happens. I mean, I think that the thing is, there have been pop divas who have done so many problematic things, and they've been able to bounce back.
Yeah.
So I don't know that there's going to be, like, a real lasting effect from it.
Well, an
Whether
exciting
that's good
Broadway
or bad,
news.
That's not for me to say, but I do think that's what's going to happen.
An exciting Broadway news, you guys. We're getting a Chess revival.
1956.
Oh, my.
Budapest is rising.
This is what makes me think of Press Conference, which is my favorite song from Chess. Hang on, I need to get in my mind. Return and deserve such a beautiful. Tough not to crick. Why do you persist with vicious attacks of gracious remarks for your opponents? It smacks of a lack of conviction. Admit you're under duress and that your only skill left is for money, not chess. If Soviet life's as grim as you claim, then how come your boys are so good at the game? There's no hope of regaining and down in this game of mine. In fact, you shouldn't have come here. You should have resigned.
Will that be Leah?
No, that's the ensemble underneath. Underneath them. It's so fucking good. Oh my God, I love Chess.
Caroline wants to.
You don't know
Chess.
Actually, guys, Chess is the show where I was told, hey, the reason you're not getting the roles you want is because you're not 90 pounds. So, fun fact, it was my audition for Chess that made that happen. Still did the show. but I love Chess. The
now we know how much Leah Michelle weighs.
Now we know. 90, yeah, 90 pounds. So, guys, the cast was announced, and I'm like, okay, if you weren't already familiar with Chess, which I don't blame you, it's not, like, compelling, really, if you don't already know how good it is. the name Chess never made me want to listen to it, but it is like a pop rock opera. And it's based on a true story. Like during the Cold War, these two like huge chess players, I don't remember their names, but they were like pitted against each other. And then there was Florence Vassy, who was his second or something. It was like really crazy to have a girl as a second. And she was like even better.
Well, girls
and then
she's a love chess, affair. So that
love affair
crazy.
With both boys, both guys. And it is so good. Adina Menzel was in it. What?
When we were watching the AMAs, there was this commercial for Sheriff Country, but we had just seen a commercial for Fire Country. Mimi goes, I want to watch that so bad. And then they, like, announce this new Sheriff Country show, and a girl comes on the screen to, like, introduce it. She's the sheriff, the main character. And Mimi goes, oh. And I was like, wait.
Oh, this is a girl show?
It was such a, like, it was such a, like, natural, like, she just, like, didn't even mean to say it. And I go, ugh, I am so tired of woke. We all know women can't be sheriffs.
And Mimi was like, that's what I'm saying. Oh, you're joking. Mimi was like, that's exactly my point.
But similarly to how women can't be sheriffs, women also don't play chess.
Can't so play chess.
This is nonfiction.
Hello.
This is so, fiction, yeah. I mean.
Anyway, this is actually nonfiction. Phoebe's just being funny. It's so good. Go listen to it if you haven't already. Okay. It's amazing. And it's coming to Broadway in October, I think, with Lea Michele as Florence, which is going to be, you guys, I mean, you saw Idina Menzel played her mother in Glee. It's perfect casting. And I don't know who's playing Svetlana yet. Can't wait to learn. It's the other girly. And then also Aaron Tveit is playing the American.
Love of my life. Love of my
American
life.
American chess player. And you know, he's a Broadway heartthrob. So this is going to be great. So if you're not on board with chess yet, you need to go listen.
Caroline and I, for the 8 millionth time, we have to go. Every time there's like a Broadway
every time
cast,
there's
like
any show.
And we're like, we're okay, like, how are we'll we gonna
there.
Get there?
We'll be there. This one, I'm dead serious. This one, I'm dead
serious. And we also say that every time.
And to tell the truth, I really wanted to see Lea Michele and Funny Girl, and I was going to try to go secretly so that none of you would know. And I didn't.
And by none of you, she means me.
I mean Phoebe. No. I was going to try to go because I was like, are we like not allowed to go see her in this show? I don't know. But I feel like now we're allowed to go see her in a show. So I will be there because we've also got Aaron Tveit. And frankly, not to be like a brat, but I'd rather see Chess than Funny Girl.
Yeah, that's fair. The music's more fun. There's like one or two songs that you're like really excited to hear from Funny Girl.
And also, I feel like Lea Michele was like announced like early spring, and that's just like a tough time. Like fall, I feel like, I don't know, for some reason I'm like, oh, that makes more sense to go up there. I don't know why. Okay, let's talk about some other people's business really quick. I want to dive into Justin Bieber and what the fuck is going on his Instagram. Obviously, I put it on our story, his initial caption when Hailey made the Vogue cover, and he basically talks about one of their biggest fights they've ever had, which, hey, Anthony, just take some notes really quick. Don't ever do that. Don't ever go on Instagram and start writing about one of the biggest fights we've ever had.
It's a good thing you said that, because he constantly is looking at Justin Bieber as an example.
And he's like, this is, yeah, no, exactly. I think a lot of men are. Yeah, and then he writes, and during that fight, I told her, you'll never be on the cover of Vogue. And we kind of talked about this in the Patreon, but, like, how sinister to tell your wife, who, like, is a model, probably even a top model, that she's never going to get something that, like, her friends are getting, something that, like, is, like, in reach, you know? Mm-hmm. And to say that to her, it just feels like such a dagger. Like, I do not believe in you.
For reference, picture Caroline's partner or my partner saying that to us, like,
oh,
that would be like,
well, they can't, they probably can't picture that.
They, well, yeah, they would never say that,
because no one could ever, like, say that to us. But like, it's like,
but
if they could say
mean.
It to Hailey
but
Bieber, they could maybe say it to us. I know, it's like that, it's as shocking
it's
as that,
that serious if not maybe yeah. A little more, well, probably,
but
not
jokes aside, it is as if Anthony were like, well, you're never gonna like be, you're never gonna be nominated for best podcast at the Golden Globes. Like, that probably is true, but if Anthony said that to me seriously,
well, Anthony
during
would
the
never
fight,
say that too.
I know, obviously.
For one of a million reasons, but one being he probably doesn't know there is going to be that category.
But two, though, the real issue here is that he actually, like, believes in me, and I think, I don't think he would ever even, like, have that thought. It's just, like,
Anthony,
what a nasty
the energy
thing to say.
Of the boy in the TikTok that I described on the Patreon, where the girl is secretly filming him and says, do you think I could ever be on the cover of Vogue? And he, like, doesn't even look up, and he goes, yeah.
Yeah, that,
and she's
exactly.
Like, she's like, really? And he goes,
he's like,
yeah, for sure.
No, 100%. That is the same energy. And that's like what you kind of want from your partner. I don't know. By the way, girls, that's what we should be getting from our partners. And I just think the fact that like he said that when they were fighting to her, it's just such a statement of like, I don't believe in you. I think you're a joke. And like a lot of things that the public, I think, says to Haley a lot. You're not supposed to hear those things from the father of your child. And like,
yeah, totally. Your husband.
You know, it's just horrible. Your husband. And not to like, I don't know. So I thought that was insane. What I thought was more insane after that was what Selena Gomez did.
Oh, great.
Did you hear?
Didn't see this.
Okay, so allegedly, this is all alleged. I don't know. But allegedly, Selena messaged Haley after this. And Haley opened it by accident and, like, didn't know how to respond. And apparently had, like, Kylie get involved somehow. I don't remember the exact details. But
where'd you hear about this?
On, like, TMZ. Like, Selena apparently DM'd Haley and Haley accidentally opened it. And then Selena put on her Instagram story, which I don't know if you've seen this. Hang on, I'll find it.
Selena.
I know. I'm like, what are we doing? So, and like, this is an Elle magazine article titled Selena Gomez shows support for Hailey Bieber after Justin posted what he did. Okay. So, while her comments made headlines, her husband, Justin Bieber, posted an Instagram about her achievement that also drew some attention. In a since-edited caption, he revealed details about an argument they had where he told her that she would never land a Vogue cover. Yikes, I know, so mean, he admitted. He went on to apologize for trying to, quote, get even with her during the fight and asked for her forgiveness for the comment because, quote, clearly I was sadly mistaken.
Sadly.
So you're sadly mistaken? How about, like, I'm so happy that I wasn't right. I'm so happy you got what you wanted. How about also, I'm not asking for forgiveness because I was wrong. I'm asking for forgiveness because I never should have said that. Not because now, oh, well, guess I was wrong. Sorry. How about sorry I fucking said that to you? Oh, okay. So Selena Gomez liked the photo that Sephora posted about Road coming to Sephora, which I'm really excited about, which I think is sweet, but Selena liked that. And then she posted an Instagram story, and it is like a repost of a photo with handwriting on it that says, you matter, your voice matters, your heart matters, you are worth so much more than you know. So she reposted that, and then she wrote, you know who you are, and I'm cheering you on.
Okay, now
Elle Magazine wrote an entire article about how this was definitely about Hailey Bieber. So we're not crazy for going there.
Honestly, she's done so much worse. I'm happy with this behavior from Selena.
I know. The messaging, if true.
Interesting choice.
I don't love it as much, but.
But the post is fine, I think.
But it is kind of insane, though.
But the best thing is liking that.
Liking that Road is coming to Sephora is fabulous because Rare obviously is such a great partnership with Sephora.
Easy for, like, if they don't say anything or do anything to support each other as brands, it's easy for the fans to be like, it's Road versus Rare.
They really run with it.
It doesn't have to be that way.
Yeah, completely. And I mean, I for one love both brands. I am very excited for Road to come to Sephora.
I've never used either, but
really, you've never used Rare Beauty?
No.
Oh my God, that's crazy. It's so good.
It's
not
that crazy.
I
have a fresh face every day.
I know, but that is crazy because I just feel like that's one of the brands that like you do have makeup. I feel like that is one of the brands that like you would just, because it's like right there when you walk in usually anyway, and you like Selena.
I get like NARS.
Yeah. She gets what I told her to get, but next time I'll say Rare.
Urban Decay.
We love an Urban Decay moment.
I love like those Urban Decay, it has toner, highlight, and
toner.
One.
Toner. Bronzer.
Bronzer. For sure.
Holy fuck. Yeah, it's like the little naked face palette, and it's bronzer blending into blush, blending into highlighter.
By the way, everybody, skin care update. I added recently to my routine the CeraVe morning moisturizer with sunscreen in it. And it has fixed the issue I was having with the moisturizer.
Oh, excellent.
Not that it was an issue. It just, my skin didn't feel as moist as I wanted it to.
Yeah. No, I get it. Well, skincare update for all of you. My skin eczema is still pretty bad. I've been cutting back on gluten. I think it's helping a little bit. And also, I did go and switch to the Tower 28 concealer and tinted sunscreen because it's all like eczema approved. And I'm using the Rode Milk, whatever, glazing milk, because it's also approved by the Eczema Association, which is a big deal. That company association does not approve shit, okay? So if it is approved, it'll have a little E on it and it'll say it. Anyway, but Tower 28 was like the first brand to be approved as a makeup line for eczema skin. And so I went and switched to it. And I love the concealer. I did not think I was going to like it. I'm not wearing foundation today. I'm only wearing concealer and like some blush. And I fucking love it. So just saying, it's really, really good. I don't know if it's like helping my eczema, but it's probably not making it worse. Oh, I have to talk about my own dream or nightmare. Your own dream. Okay. Okay. Then I'll save that for my nightmare. Let's just talk about reality really, really quick. We're going to be watching the Summer House finale or reunion tonight, but we had the finale last week. What did you think?
My thoughts aren't really shifting all that much on things. I'm trying to rack my brain.
We talked a little bit about it on the Patreon, but one thing we're both kind of confused about is obviously they took out of the added in trailer, or not trailer, but in the trailer for the finale we saw, the page talks about Craig cheating on her with multiple women, and they scrubbed it from the episode. And honestly, the whole episode, it was like, I didn't get enough of anything. I could have broken this up over 2 weeks.
And I feel like this happened last year. We haven't had like a real end of the summer, it feels like.
Yeah.
It felt like the party ended and then it was like, okay, back to the city.
Well, actually, I disagree. Last summer, we did get Lindsay and Carl's breakup.
I know, but that's what I mean. Like, an end of the summer in terms of like, we don't see the wrap up of the house like we used to.
Mm. Yeah.
It's we get like a 1 month later, 3 months later.
Yeah.
It's like,
true.
Which is fine, but make the episode an hour and a half then. Like, I just a little, because then we would have had a little bit more of everything else that it felt like maybe we did need more of before we head into the reunion. But I'm firmly team Paige now. Like, I think part of it, when we talked about this when Southern Charm was airing and how that might be influencing how we felt about the whole situation. And maybe the same thing is happening now. But the fact that Paige asked him to say something about the fact that she didn't cheat on him and he refused to, and that he started acting. He just comes off as such a brat, and he always.
Oh,
has.
I knew she asked him.
I know, but just the way. What I mean is seeing the conversation about it and the way that, like, clearly it was something that Paige has this air about her sometimes where things don't seem to get to her.
Mm-hmm.
And in this conversation, it was like, that's actually like so. You're on Watch What Happens and all these things talking about how you like loved this person so much, but you can't do these things that would still show that.
Yeah, I mean, I still. I'm team Paige. I said on the Patreon too that I think like neither one lost or won the breakup. Like, I think at this point, far enough away from it, this was the most tame Bravo breakup we've had in a long time and probably will have. Especially considering how long they were together. I mean, look at what we're getting from Lexi and Jesse. Like, comparatively, I just think it's like, okay. But I do still feel, and just because I am like a bitter person as a human, I think if my partner broke up with me, and I, even if like we don't think Craig should have been blindsided, he obviously was. And maybe that's because he was living in delusion, but like that is how he felt, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You get broken up with, you can't believe it. You thought you're gonna get married. I don't believe he had a ring one bit, but I believe he thought Paige was his forever.
Yeah.
And then you remember like right in the aftermath of that, she's like out with that guy, and everyone was like, whoa.
That
and so
was crazy.
In the moment, it felt like, well, maybe she did cheat on him. Like, we all kind of thought that. And so for me, I think if I'm Craig and I'm like trying to get over you and I'm hurt and devastated and heartbroken, like, I'm not going out of my way to do anything nice for you. Even if I did love you so much. And like, because imagine, just think about a breakup, like how fucking mad you have to hate that person to get over it. I'm not doing anything to make their life easier when I'm the one who got dumped. Like, that's just for me.
That's fair.
So I do understand her asking him to say that. And if he's like, well, I don't know for sure that you didn't, like, I don't fully believe this, then I could see him not saying anything. Now, if they had both ended on super amicable terms and it was like a mutual, then it would be totally different. But it's very clear that like she broke up with Craig. And I do think he was living in delusion. I think the signs were there. And I think they are much better off without each other. And I'm definitely like, I don't think Paige was wrong for breaking up with him. I think it was the right thing. I was like bummed when they broke up, but mm-hmm. it definitely was the right thing, especially after seeing all of Summer House and seeing like their lives were just not going to match up. And I'm sorry, but you shouldn't have to date a secret hater. Look at Justin Bieber and Hailey Bieber, you know? It's just like, why get Bingo. Trapped and have a baby and then be stuck with a secret hater? It's also sorry how I feel about Zach on Secret Lives of Mormon Wives. Mm-hmm. And he just went on Vile Files and I listened to a little bit of it today. And Nick Vile is like ready to absolve him. Nick Vile is like, I'm really impressed with your growth, like whatever. And I'm not even on this call. I think he's constantly trying to embarrass and belittle Jen on camera.
I'm still so behind, but I did just watch the conversation. We talked a little bit about, I had to rewatch episode 3 because I was on someone else's Hulu and I couldn't remember where I was. So I rewatched the scene after the party.
Yeah.
When Zach is like, she's like, you need to acknowledge that last night wasn't okay. Mm-hmm. And then she kind of likens, and she says like right up front, she's like, it wasn't as bad as how you reacted after Chippendales, but it kind of felt like that. And it's like a switch goes off in his brain.
Yes.
And he's like, don't do that. You see what you're doing. Mm-hmm. And he's not the only one that does it. Dakota does it too. I noticed at the party, which I can't stand. Manipulative ass man.
And they're friends.
Dakota, what I couldn't stand about Dakota at the party is the way they're all so childish, the way that he'll like repeat things. He'd be like, oh, I don't do this for you. Oh, I'm not your partner. Oh, I'm not this. I'm not. And then it's like, and he does it to everybody. It's so embarrassing. But that is what Zach was doing in this conversation with Jen. And then he's like, I'm done. So this is done. I'm not having this conversation, yes. So you don't get to have this conversation.
Well, and I felt like, you know, as soon as the cameras are up, Zach is on his best behavior. He saw what happened last season. So I believe and that's why I really was upset with Demi and Jesse for that. Because I was like, you put Jen in honestly a dangerous situation. And like, I think you knew that. And sending her home where there aren't cameras, we don't know how he reacted. It obviously wasn't good if Jen is now electing to have this conversation about that on camera. Mm-hmm. I think there is a reason that a lot of these conversations happen on camera, and that may be protection. I think it's a reason a lot of reality stars stay on reality TV because it is protection. If people are there watching you and filming you, you are less likely to have something horrible happen to you on camera. You know, other than a woman throwing a drink in your face, you know, so I just thought it was really interesting. And then his inability to do that, and he has to leave. He doesn't want to be filmed if he's going to have an honest reaction. I thought it was very telling. I think him leaving medical school, he makes it seem like it was this huge sacrifice for her. Maybe it was, but either way, one of you is going to have to sacrifice, and your sacrifice was going to be costing a ton of money, and hers is already making more than what you're going to be making in medical school. So I think they were the most Mormon couple, honestly, at the beginning of this, and I think that's why they struggled the most, because it's hard for people to understand them. A lot of these women aren't as devout Mormons, you know, and like, so in contrast to these women, to women like, you know, Layla or whoever who's open about not following all the strict, you know, Jen was still wearing her garments in season one. Like, she is very much in that Mormon faith. And I think compared to the other women, it seems like, oh, my God, you guys are so. Mm-hmm. But it's like that's what I think a lot of Mormon couples probably experience. And
yeah, I agree.
So it's interesting. Anyway, what were you going to say?
Just one pivoting over to Taylor and the new girl, the conversation they had. It's so interesting to see the confessionals after they film.
Oh my God.
Because when they're what's the new girl's name? Mackenzie?
Miranda.
Miranda.
What a terrible last name. Miranda McHorder.
There's a building on
WHORE.
McHorder Hall on Belmont's campus. But Taylor is, and here's the thing about Taylor, and Caroline and I were talking about this. She's one of those crazy people that you can't help but kind of admire because they might be crazy, but I don't think she's ever going to lie. I think she's telling the truth 100% of the time.
I totally agree. And I think she is just like, she is who she is. And they even say on the show, they're like, she is the least interested in like this life. Like, she they're like, I don't even remember the last time Taylor did a brand deal. Like, she doesn't, she's only wearing sweatpants. You know, like, that's Taylor. Like, that's just, she shows up places completely inappropriately dressed in sweatpants. And we're like, what the fuck? Like, but that's Taylor. And it's like, that's also, you know why all these guys like are obsessed with her, because she just like, she is like the pick me girl, but she's not a pick me. That's just who she is. Exactly. You know? So people who are trying to be like Taylor, and I think it's very easy to hate that girl, but I mean, she's got a lot of flaws, but I do like her on my TV, and God, and that girl is so freaking pretty.
And she's so blunt. Like, I just love how she's like there was the, Layla was talking to Demi about, Jen, and she's like, well, I just don't like what Jen did to you. And the way they talk, like, Jen is not this vindictive person that they think she is.
I think she's very much trapped in a situation and she's trying to survive it.
Right. Taylor's sitting between Layla and Demi, and Layla says that, and Taylor goes, what'd she do to you?
And Demi's like, well,
like mid bite, she's like, what'd she do to you?
Yeah.
And Demi goes, well, I mean, just that, like, she's like vindictive. And it's like, right. Taylor's like, okay.
No concrete evidence. Yeah.
But the conversation that Miranda and Taylor had, where Miranda's like, I wasn't doing the stuff that you all were doing. And Taylor's like,
yeah, like, you were. Like, and then she goes into her confessional. And she's like, yeah, we did this and this and this. What do you see what she's doing now?
And Miranda's watching it. And she goes, yeah, I mean, I guess that's all true.
Okay, then why did you lead into this season? Like, Miranda, like, why are you here, girl? Did you know what you were walking into? Did you know?
I saw this TikTok of this this couple that was watching the show together. And I love when boyfriends just, like, latch onto the show, but they still don't really, like,
Anthony
know what's
got into it
going
too.
On. And he, halfway through the season, he looks at his wife or girlfriend and goes, when are they going to Montauk? He thought that they were talking about a trip to Montauk, because the way Miranda keeps going,
that's so funny.
I'm not even in Mom Talk yet. And he thought, like, in the Montauk group chat.
What's
going to
happen
something.
When we get there? He's like, oh my God, we're not even in Montauk yet. That's hilarious. I was going to say one more thing about Secret Lives. Well, currently Taylor is taking somebody down on social media.
Taking someone down.
There is another person who was, like, involved in the swinging. I think this is the woman whose husband actually left her for Taylor, like, for real. Mm-hmm. So there were, like, I guess that happened with multiple people. But anyway, she's come on and completely denied it, because he went back to her and, like, they're, like, having their family again. So she came online and was like, no, like, I was not part of this, whatever. So Taylor comes online and posts videos of them making out, texts of the girl being like, I'm in Mexico, just, like, wishing I was kissing you. Like, she just posts all of it. And then she's like, yeah, the girl deleted all of her social media, but it's fine. When I see you in person, I'm going to do this too. She goes, you can run, but you can't hide. That's her caption. I'm like, girl, that is just last person I want after me.
She is great. But it's,
she's like, okay, you can delete all your social media, I'll find you in person.
It's like, if the girl hadn't lied on social media, you would have avoided this.
Yes. You're acting like you
should know
who
you
were
dealing with.
Yeah. Like, come on. Come on, women. This is an amateur hour. So anyway, Taylor, Frankie, Paul for president. All right. Want to do our rotations?
Yeah. I'm first. And first is going to be extra toasty Cheez-Its. When I went to Atlanta, that was all that was, like, there. Julie was like, I just opened it. Sorry, but this is all that's in here. I was like, no, that's perfect. They were delish. I just forget how good. I never buy them, and they're just so good.
Yeah, they are so good.
Next is Jake Schroeder. I talked about him a little bit on the Patreon. He does the song TikToks where he...
Oh, right.
Yeah. I love when he does his body percussion.
That's hilarious.
He's so funny. He is just, like, and I actually think that, like, I know what he's doing is joking, but, like, it's like how we talk about
it. It's
Pat
actually
Cohen.
Good.
Like, it's good. He can sing, and it's, like, smart. Like, some of the, like, the rhyming is smart. Anyway, I love him. I think he's so funny. And lastly is a girl on one of my walks from last week. Last week I was walking in Atlanta with my headphones on, and I was walking up this hill. And I was in, like, a really safe area, not a lot of people around, but, like, apartments everywhere, businesses, felt really, really safe. And then I feel like I'm walking, and I feel like I don't hear anything from behind me, but I feel like two limbs grab my waist and like something between my legs. And I obviously freak out. And it was this girl's dog. She had two dogs. She was running with two dogs. And
I did not know where this was going.
Well, neither did I in the moment. That's why I had to tell the story like that. And immediately, like, when I realize it's just this girl running, I'm like, oh, it's like, what? I was like, not mad. It was like, whatever. And she was so nice. She stopped. She was like this young girl, like so sweet. And she goes, that must have been so scary. I am so sorry. And I was like, yeah, that, she is a girl's girl. Like that yes. is like, have like some people, like I was talking about last week on my nightmare rotation, like some yeah. people wouldn't have taken the time no. to be like, I know that I'm sorry that I just did like, something that was yeah. probably like, you probably thought something really bad was yeah. about to happen. And yeah. I'm really sorry about that.
Oh.
I was like, that is so sweet for someone to take the time to be like,
yeah.
And the dogs were really cute, yeah. but it was the scariest moment
that's
of my life.
That's so scary, Phoebe. I would have lost my mind. Wow, that's really scary. I'm glad you're okay. Holy fuck. And I'm glad that girl realized what she did.
No.
And I hope she listens. I hope you gave her a card. All right. Your first card. Up on my nightmare rotation is the Etsy witch. Have you heard of the Etsy witch? Well, there
you mean,
are lots of
you
them.
Mean the Etsy snitch?
The Etsy snitch, yeah. I want to talk about the Etsy snitch. The WIPA violator. Guys, this is the funniest fucking shit I've
oh my
ever
God, so
seen.
Fucking funny.
Okay, so this girl posts a TikTok.
This is
and
something
she's
that would have happened to our little sister, by the way.
Oh, 100%. She's basically like, I paid for a love spell on Etsy from an Etsy witch, and she fucking found the guy on social media and told him and sent him like everything. And so then I get the, we have the confirmation item, ultimate powerful obsession spell, become his only obsession, extra strong love spell. I bring back X, example, binding and obsession, same day casting. Okay, quantity one, price $15, spell cast within 9 hours. Okay.
Girl, $15.
She goes, I paid $15. She did all of that snitching for $15. That's, she literally just does it for fun, it seems like.
What
I'm scared
me.
To expose her because she might turn me into a frog or something. I'm like, no, yeah. But
what
I'm sorry.
Me, bitch. What a pick
How
me witch.
How dare you? How dare you? I hope her shop got reported and taken down so fast. All you other witches out there, carry on, but take heed. That
hey, Lana,
is evil.
Hey, Lana, get after her.
Are you
Lana,
a good witch or a bad
go.
Witch? Oh, I think we know. Oh, I think we know. I'm sorry. That's diabolical. How could you? But imagine, Phoebe, I would leave the country at least.
No, it would be worse.
At least leave the country. I don't know
drastic.
What else there would be to do, but at least I'm leaving the country because I'm sorry. Imagine. I mean, what kind of person are you putting that kind of a spell on? It's not like a famous person. Like that's someone in your life. That's someone who probably knows you're interested and isn't interested in you.
Or like, what if it is
an ex? We shouldn't be placing these kind of spells, you guys. An ex, and they get an email from my fucking Etsy witch that's like, hey, just want to let you know your ex or this girl in your life paid me money to cast a spell on you to make you fall in love and become her, quote, only obsession. Imagine, I'm like, first of all, that kind of thing should only, you should only have to undergo something that embarrassing in high school. Or middle school, okay?
She
like,
did look
to be a
young.
Full-grown adult? No, she's
How
in
old
her 20s.
Is she?
She's in her 20s, so she's young, but she's a full-grown adult. I'm like, that? To have something like that following you when you're 25 years old?
Girls,
I
know.
If you're 15,
know,
it's going to die down. No one's going to
know
in your adult life.
Girls, I know we're desperate. I know
girls, we have to stop buying
bleak,
spells on Etsy.
But this is not it.
This is not the answer.
Let's instead of paying $15 to get a love spell, let's pay $15 at a third location.
Let's
pay $15 and sit at a coffee shop for
let's pay
hours.
$15 an hour a week for therapy. Okay? Or as whatever you can spend, whatever it costs, really. Because here's the deal. The other people are like, this brings into a lot of like questions about like free will and ethics. I'm like, yeah. It's a love spell. I don't really think it's working. Sorry if I'm offending any witches who listen to this podcast. But that witch should get her witch license revoked. Well, she's not listening. Okay, so that's number one. Number two is Demi. I think she's a villain. I think she's the worst. Demi on
yeah.
Secret Lives, obviously.
Not Mrs. Lutz.
Not, are you talking about the new Demi Lovato?
Demi Lovato Lutz.
Did you see that Miley Cyrus posted a photo of her in the same wedding dress and said, "Twinsies, hope you have better luck than I did." On her story with, by the way, the song that's playing, Miley's new song, Endless Love, or whatever.
Oh my God, I get remarried. Oh my God, we
twinsies, have to have another but they wedding. Are in the same dress.
That's so
twinsies,
funny.
Twinsies, hope I yours goes better than mine did.
Bored.
I mean, Demi Lovato is one of the most beautiful women
and she just
people
looks so,
on
like,
planet Earth.
Healthy and like yes. happy and like full I of hope, light again.
I hope it continues. I feel like
I'm really happy for her.
Yeah. She looks fabulous. I hope that it's everything she ever dreamt of. All right, and finally on my nightmare rotation, I am going to put eczema. Guys, it sucks. It really sucks. It's driving me nuts. It's making me like have to stop eating gluten, which is like fine, but not really. It sucks. And so if you guys have any fave gluten-free foods, let me know. But it's just so annoying and it's really itchy and it's really painful and it's ugly and I don't like it. And it's really messing with my self-esteem a little bit. I'll be honest. Okay, fine. There, yeah, I said it. I'm not. Totally. I don't look in the mirror and say, oh my God, look at that dancing queen anymore. So...
Which is what maybe Caroline one is known
I used to. Everyone she knew says it. Everyone knew that.
She says it every morning.
Everybody knew
that. Look at that dancing queen.
Everyone said, look at that dancing queen. And it's like, no one else even does it now. So that's it. That's it for that. Okay, guys. You are going to want to tune in this weekend to our Patreon because we are doing, for tier three, we're doing a Smash pilot recap. That's right. Smash. It is currently on Broadway, nominated for a Tony on the same street that Megan Hiltzy, who was in the TV show Smash, she is nominated for Tonys and Death Becomes Her on the same street. How poetic can it get? Okay. It's about the making of the Marilyn Monroe musical called Bombshell, and Catherine McPhee is in it, and Deborah Messing and Brian Darcy James and Christian Broad. Like, it's everybody is in it. It's so good. So we are going to be discussing it in depth, that first episode. And I think Phoebe's going to get on a kick and she's going to finish it real quick. I just have a feeling. So that's coming up this weekend. Let us know what you would like to see from us next month on the Patreon. Go listen to our Pretty Little Punch Bowl. We posted it this week for tiers 2 and 3. We love you guys so much. Thank you for listening. And we will see you next week.
And splat.
Splat.